The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
It's time for AM 1260 The Rock's newest locally produced program called Where We Worship. This 30-minute show highlights Northeast Ohio's Catholic churches, their rich histories, and what they do to meet the spiritual needs of their parishioners. Now here's your host, Bob Tayek.
Welcome to Where We Worship, a program highlighting parishes and Catholic institutions throughout Northeast Ohio, with the intention of offering you insight and understanding on the importance of community in our Catholic faith. The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops best describes the parish as the place where the church lives. Parishes are communities of faith, of action, and of hope, and they are where the gospel is proclaimed and celebrated. And parishes are the home of the Christian community. They are the heart of the church. The bishops go on to say, parishes are the place where God's people meet, Jesus in word and Jesus in sacrament, and come in touch with the source of the church's life. And why is the parish or community essential to our relationships with God? Well, one only needs to turn to Scripture. In his letter to the Hebrews, St. Paul writes, we must consider how to rouse one another to live and do good works, and we should not stay away from our assembly, as is the custom of some, but encourage one another, and this all the more as you see the day drawing near. Well, today on Where We Worship, we look at the history, the ministries, and the people of St. Paul Parish in the Firestone Park area of South Akron. This past September 25th, St. Paul celebrated its 100th anniversary as the parish was established on that date in 1919 by Cleveland Diocesan Bishop John P. Farley. This is your host, Bob Tayek, and joining me on Where We Worship to look at the history and the current vibrancy at St. Paul's, my guest, Pastor Matthew Pfeiffer, Jeannie Bearer, the business office manager, and Ron McAvoy, a longtime parishioner. And let me begin with one aspect of the founding of the parish to start with, and that is the fact that one of Akron's famous rubber magnates, Harvey Firestone, donated the land where the first church was built back in 1919 and thereafter. And Father Matt, that in itself, I think, is an extremely interesting point about here's an Akron parish, a Roman Catholic parish being developed, and one of the rubber magnates stepped in.
Correct. Amazing. And we're very grateful to Mr. Firestone, which established what has continued for a very long time, and we want to continue into the future. And he donated not only the land for our parish, but for other churches in the area as well, which speaks, I think, even to the ecumenical reality in Akron.
Right. That is something, and it's just an interesting history to know a little bit about those giants of industry who really made Akron flourish. Unlike many of the parishes in Cleveland, and we've already done some programs with their foundings, they were ethnically based, if you will. It might have been a German parish to start with, etc. But it's a little different story in Akron. And I wondered if you could just expand a little bit about how did St. Paul's in Firestone Park, how did it begin, or what was the need?
I'll ask Jeannie and Ron to help me out for sure on this.
Sure.
But definitely with Mr. Firestone donating and with the boom, really, blue-collar workers, many of them Catholic, big families, moving into the area, working there, and filling in the houses that were built there in Firestone Park. Mm-hmm. That was definitely a huge part of that. And coming from all over, I'd imagine, the ethnic reality was not as present, it seems, as it was in other places.
I can remember when I moved into Firestone Park after I got married in 62, that there was many Irish, Polish, Czechoslovakian groups, families there, and the neighborhoods seemed like it was, all the neighborhoods seemed like they were just filled with Catholic families. You could see that in the early days that they needed to have a parish where they could belong to. Jeannie?
Yeah, the diocese decided that they needed a Catholic church, and they were meeting in Firestone Park Elementary School before the church was even thought of. Mm-hmm. So they needed a place to worship, sure.
So you had this influx of labor and filling a need there, and so grateful that it was able to. You know, one of the interesting aspects to the establishment, looking back now, you know, 100 years ago, the first pastor, As I read, he was a decorated World War I chaplain, and we had a similar situation in a recent interview on this program with Our Lady of Peace Parish. That's off of Shaker Square in the Cleveland neighborhood. And a returning World War I chaplain now needs a place, and he's placed in as a pastor. And I think it was Father Hanley then became the pastor, the first pastor at St. Paul's.
Correct. He came back from the war and was made pastor of St. Paul's. I walk by a picture of him at least once a day in the rectory, and it has the dates of his pastorate, which was really less than a year, unfortunately.
I was telling you as we were talking about the general topic before we went on air, the similar circumstance occurred at Our Lady of Peace. World War I chaplain, new pastor, and a circumstance occurred where Father Hanley passed away 1 month after the first mass of the new church, which he helped build, his death in May of 1920. I just found a terrible irony in all of that. Once again, a World War I chaplain, and that was the case.
Correct.
He passed early.
Yeah, I mean, coming back, I don't know all the details, but probably from, you know, whether it be gas or, you know, the trauma and difficulties of the war, the consequences of that, he died very young.
Right. A very, you know, a sad history as we reflect on these parishes. I know in its history, and as you mentioned, Ron, been there since 62 as far as a new home, there have been times of struggle. And one of them came, of all things, with the development of the interstate system and I-77 coming through, you know, that area, the Firestone Park area of Akron, which really, I think, seemed to have a direct effect on the parish and its continued development.
A lot of the homes where the people were members of the parish were taken to establish the interstate there. I can remember as a kid playing in that area while they were building that through Central Akron.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, a lot of the people had moved out to the suburbs, out to St. Francis and other parishes, Queen of Heaven, because of the removal of their homes. But I can still remember that when we moved to our home on Reed Avenue there, that there was still a lot of Catholic families in Firestone Park. I mean, as kids just on my block there, I can remember there must have been 50 kids from large Catholic families still there.
Mm-hmm. Interesting dynamic to that. Well, coming up, we're going to talk about Father Thomas Cagle. And he followed the whole I-77 development. And I know there's some interesting reflections on who he was and what he meant to the development or continued development of St. Paul's Parish in Akron. And we will talk about that on Where We Worship here on AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock. And you're listening to Where We Worship here on AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock. I'm Bob Tayak, along with my guests from St. Paul's Parish in the Firestone Park neighborhood of South Akron, Pastor Matt Pfeiffer, Jeannie Bearer, business manager, and Ron McAvoy, longtime parishioner. As we're talking about the history of this parish, I think as we look at the parish of St. Paul's in Akron, celebrating its 100th anniversary now this year, we have to include some discussion of Father Thomas Cagle. And I know he, I believe, was an Akron native, if I'm not mistaken. Or he was. And he came in at a time where the parish needed a little jump start because a lot of things had happened with the interstate coming through, some people moving out and so forth. But Father Tom Cagle was quite a dynamic character, and I wondered if you could talk a little bit about his influence on the parish. Maybe I'll turn to you, Jeannie, to give us a little insight on him.
Well, Father Cagle really loved the children. And as soon as he walked into a room, walked out of a door, wherever he was, the children just ran to him and threw their arms around him and just wanted to be with him all the time, and he just loved it. He was just a great man. Mm-hmm. The kids loved him.
He had a lot of impact, I understood, not just on St. Paul's, of course, but really on the whole neighborhood and on the whole Firestone Park area.
Father Cagle was not one to accept money to do something. Father Cagle's idea was He wanted your time. He wanted you to be part of the project. He even got a vendor's license. He went up to Wreck Salvage every day before they opened up to the public, and he would buy. And he bought paper. He bought carpet. He bought carpet to the point that it was a joke that the next thing he carpeted besides the school was going to be the parking lot.
So quite a dynamic character. And I know when we talk about these individuals like Father Cagle, and I wondered, Ron, if you would give us a little insight on, he actually became a Monsignor. And who was that?
Monsignor Boelke. He came to the parish in 1923 and was there till 1961 when he passed away. Monsignor Boelke built the school, the additions to the school, the additions to the church. He built the chapel. We used to have masses both in the church and in the chapel. We had four masses on Sunday. Everybody in the neighborhoods knew Father Boelke. Father Boelke could have been the mayor of Firestone Park. He didn't care whether you were Catholic, Protestant, Jewish. Everybody knew Father Boelke. He helped everybody. During the Depression, he brought in farm produce to help feed the whole neighborhood in Firestone Park. My neighbors next door who are Protestant talked about how Father Boelke would go into the neighborhood and he'd stop and just sit on the porch with people, whether they were the Catholics or the Protestants or whoever. Sit down and talk to them about what was going on in the neighborhood. Everybody in Firestone Park loved Father Boelke.
What a wonderful reflection on a man of the cloth who really had an influence on even more than just his Catholic community. Any other recollections of the influence of any of these particular pastors that you think is worth hearing about as far as what they did or how they did it? Any thoughts in that regard?
I can tell you a funny story about Father Boelke. One of the store owners in the park had children who were attending a public school. And Father Boelke went to him and said, I understand you have four children who are attending public school. And the person said, yes, we do. And he says, well, Monday morning they will be in St. Paul's Parish Church School, won't they? Yes, Father, they will.
Really? Really?
It was a different time then.
It sure was. I mean, but he had that kind of influence in such a positive way. That's extraordinary. You know, those are really good things to hear. Father Matt, you know, the other thing about the dimension of Akron parishes is one that I'm going to guess you may have reflected on at one time. I know from just my own experience there, you know, Akron, for a long time, talking about ecumenism or at least that whole element, has been the evangelical center. It was at one time, in particular, in the United States, God of Akron, with television evangelists and huge, you know, church bus fleets and all of those things. A little different dimension for you as a pastor, and I'm going to guess with these, with these pastors, and to practice the faith, because you know there are a lot of opportunities and so forth, and a lot of influence, you know, by some other denominations, you know, to come into the community. But it seems to me like there are steadfast Catholics, and these pastors were able to feed the flock, if you will.
Sure, I think as we've just heard about Monsignor Boelke, you know, the atmosphere, we'll say, of respect and charity, regardless of one's faith background, definitely being Catholic and proud of it, but also that means we can talk with people. In fact, we just had an interfaith cultural event at St. Paul's, which was not just an ecumenical Christian group, but many faiths. In fact, Jeannie was very involved with organizing that and having it at St. Paul's. There's lots of people with different faith backgrounds. And yes, there's differences, but we can at least get together on some kind of level of respect. And that's just the atmosphere, it seems. And definitely the ecumenical aspect. We have an ecumenical Christmas concert coming up at St. Paul's as well. So it's just, it's part of the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. Jeannie, I wonder, what was the event you were involved in coordinating as such an ecumenical one?
I worked on the Akron Area Interfaith Council. They have an awards ceremony, and they were bringing all of the different Muslims, Jews, all of the different religions. The Bhutanese were there, and they showed how they worship.
Mm, how interesting. And it was available to everyone.
Right.
It took place right there in St. Paul's.
Right.
We are talking about St. Paul's in Akron, in the Firestone Park neighborhood. That's on the south end of Akron, if you don't know the territory. And it's a parish celebrating its 100th anniversary as a parish this year. We'll be back to talk about current events, if you will, and where the parish is headed with Father Matt and his compatriots here on Where We Worship here on AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock Radio. You're listening to Where We Worship on AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock. I'm Bob Tayak, your host. We're talking about St. Paul Catholic Church, a parish that's 100 years old this year in Akron, Ohio. St. Paul's located in the Firestone Park neighborhood. That's on the south end of Akron. And my guests include Father Matt Pfeiffer, who's the pastor, Jeannie Bearer, business office manager, and long involved in the parish activities, and Ron McAvoy, we'll call him the historian. He has a background going back, just a little over some 50 years, Ron, as a parishioner at St.
Yes.
Paul's, correct? So your insight's been most valuable. Father Matt, I'll give you the broad brush here. The status of St. Paul's today, what types of ministries are in operation? Where do you see the parish?
Well, there's been definite changes, as we've discussed throughout the history, and difficulties as well. Things have changed, demographics have changed, the makeup of the parish has changed. At the same time, you know, taking a cue, I think, from Monsignor Boki and going out to reach out, one of the current things, especially in this 100th year, one of the foci of the celebration is evangelization. And so to reach out to current parishioners, and then also parishioners perhaps we haven't seen in a while. Unfortunately, we suffer the effects that much of the church has, people not coming to Mass and people falling away. So we want to make sure we reach out, as Pope Francis has said, reaching out and to the peripheries. Furthermore, as Monsignor Boki went door to door, we don't have definitive plans on doing that yet, but I can foresee this going in that direction, and we're calling it St. Paul's Fourth Journey. Traditionally, he's known to take three missionary journeys in Scripture, and so under his patronage, we want to reach out like he did. And so we're having volunteers get together. We're in the first phase right now, but really finding a way to reach out and to reestablish those connections and invite them to worship God, learn the faith, and proclaim the gospel.
I should know the answer to this, but I've got to ask, the status of your school, is St. Paul's
right,
still operating as
unfortunately,
such?
We had to close the school 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
One of the current things, though, is we house the two homeschool co-ops now, though, that do meet at our facility, and they're involved with the parish, at least on some level, and then also I usually teach their kids theology at the high school level of their co-op. So we're still trying to use our building for multiple things, for the parish first and foremost, but also seeing and being creative and seeing what can be done.
That is fascinating, and that's speaking of a new dimension, and really in many respects some new outreach. The whole phenomenon of homeschooling and its development really seems to have taken hold, as you would imply that, at least.
Yes, there's a number of homeschooling co-ops and organizations in Summit County in particular, not just Summit, but definitely in the Akron area, let's say. And good people want to live their faith, and they're making this choice to homeschool. And again, it's about being creative and finding different models, really.
Mm-hmm. Jeannie, as we look at the parish and being in the heart of it, if you will, as the business manager, no easy task. I know that, believe me. But as you see, what are some of the dimensions of the parish that you really think have been beneficial or are beneficial now as you reach out to the parishioners and really try to serve them?
Not only are we reaching out to the parishioners, we're reaching out to the community. We have hosted for several years now the Firestone Park Community Christmas Concert. It's all the churches are participating, and we put on a Christmas concert, choir, different people come in and do whatever they want to, you know, and act, so to speak, but it's all Christmas related.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's right, and it's truly an outreach. How about other ministries? Anything in particular you'd like to highlight or reference, Ron? Or?
One of the things, too, as we've reached out parishioners, the whole community, also to the poor. At our parishes, we've always had a connection with the Peter Morin Center, which is really a staple on South Main Street in South Akron. Also, in more recent years, our St. Vincent de Paul Society has been reinstated, and there are many people in our community who need that assistance. And I'm glad to say that our parishioners have definitely stepped up through their volunteering, through monetary donations, although we can always use a bit more. But that proclaiming of the gospel, which is part of our mission, includes the works of mercy.
Mm-hmm. How about, in general, the Firestone Park neighborhood? I've always known it as such an essential component to what is Akron, Ohio. Are you seeing much change there? Is it a stabilized area, you know, where you will be able to do, you know, some outreach and have people that...
It's the area is changing. It's I've noticed over the last 10 years, there's a lot of homes being sold, a lot of moving in, moving out. Yeah, the area is changing. But there is opportunities there. I can relate 4 or 5 years ago, taking food baskets around and talking to families who probably one of the parents in the family was a Protestant, one was a Catholic, so they'd fallen away, and they didn't know what to do. They wanted to come back into the church. So there's people out there that you need to contact, who need to know that St. Paul's is open, our pastor is open. They can come and talk to him and get back to their faith. Really, only through God and faith can you really be happy in this community. Everybody is so wanting to have more wealth, more this, more that, and instead of finding the satisfaction that you can find, it's just in Jesus Christ and the peace that he can bring to you.
Amen. Amen, Ron. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. Someone interested in contacting St. Paul's for whatever reason, sure. What's the best way, Father Man?
Well, our number, 330-724-1263. Also definitely our website. It's St. Paul Akron, so stpaulakron.org. All our contact information is there, along with if you're a fallen away Catholic and want to get right in the homepage, right there is some links. And, of course, not only myself, but our staff and, again, fellow parishioners are open and want to talk. And that's, again, the whole point of this fourth journey that we were talking about.
Father, I know you have some celebrations for this 100th anniversary and a big one coming up, I believe, in January.
Sure. We already mentioned the Ecumenical Christmas Concert coming up on December.
The first Saturday in December.
First Saturday in December, so whatever date that is. Then also Bishop Perez will be with us on our feast day, January 25th, Saturday. That's the Vigil Mass. To be with us to celebrate, that's going to be a big one. We have a concert series starting after the new year as well. There's three concerts scheduled, and we also are going to have a Taste of St. Paul's in February. Parishioners bringing all their different dishes and everything like that. We'll have a procession through the neighborhood, and we're hoping on Corpus Christi, although I do need Bishop's permission for that still. I hope he gives it. And there's probably a few other things we haven't even got to yet. But we will end it next September with some other celebration.
And burying our time capsule.
Yes.
Oh, and burying a time capsule. Outstanding. Yeah. Well, you've been listening to Where We Worship. This is Bob Tayak, and this installment is featured St. Paul Parish in Firestone Park in Akron. And Where We Worship is a production of AM 1260 St. Peter the Rock Radio, focusing on the essential aspects of community worship and participation in our Catholic life. As written in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 2, prayer as a community is essential for our spiritual growth and personal well-being. God does not intend for us to bear our crosses alone.
Thank you for listening to Where We Worship, AM 1260 The Rock's newest locally produced program highlighting the rich histories and significance of Northeast Ohio's Catholic churches. If you missed any part of the show, listen to the program in its entirety on our website at am1260therock.com under the Archive Audio tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.